Drew, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me again.
Can you answer maybe an easy one? Why the 8 o'clock start tonight?
I have no idea. It's weird because usually, the Avalanche have always seemed to play this night before Thanksgiving game, and it seems like every year it's been a 6 o'clock game here local time. So I was thinking it has something to do with maybe TV in Canada, but I have no idea why it's such a late start. It kind of stinks that it's that late, especially not before Thanksgiving.
Because that's what I thought. I thought usually the Thanksgiving games are earlier. So I'm guessing it's Canadian TV, and I didn't think that it controlled even the American home game. So I'm sure Colorado fans maybe aren't too enamored by it. And right now they're not overly enamored by their team's lack to score goals. 29th in the NHL in goal scoring. Who have been the what's been the biggest reason why this team can't score right now?
I think a lot of it just kind of comes down to just a obviously a low shooting percentage. They're getting plenty of opportunities, they're getting plenty of shots on goal, seems like night in and night out. But I think when you look at the roster up and down, and you look at the guys that have scored for this team, it's the big name guys, the Matt Duchene. Yeah, Matt Duchene's got 7 goals. He leads the team, but it's the other guys below him, Nathan MacKinnon, Gabe Landeskog, Mikko Rantanen, who just kind of came up a couple weeks ago. Guys like that aren't really contributing. And, you look and see where Rene Bork is on this team, a guy who came in on a professional tryout and ended up making this team. He's been one of the better players for the Avalanche so far this season. And, no offense to Rene Bork, but if he's a guy that's second on your team in goal scoring this year with 5 behind Matt Duchene, that's kind of a problem for this team. So, I figure at some point they'll probably hopefully get this thing turned around. I know Nathan MacKinnon's been playing a little bit better of late. I think he's got 2 goals in his last 3 games. So if he can finally kind of get it going and get it kick-started, I think they'll start scoring goals. But, man, it's been a rough go of it trying to get this thing going for him.
Well, I mean, Drew, we saw Connor McDavid go 10 games without a goal up here, so we know how that can happen. But it's really odd to have so many good young players go cold at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's the surprising part. I mean, you've had – and they've been relatively healthy, too. I mean, I know Matt Duchene missed a couple games with a head injury. Gabe Landeskog missed the last 3 games and whatnot. But it's just – it's hard to kind of pinpoint exactly why they haven't scored. I know, special teams-wise, they haven't been real great either, especially on the power play. They don't move the puck around enough. They don't find open guys. They just kind of – standing around with the puck a lot instead of moving around trying to get a prime scoring opportunity. But I think one of the big things you can point at, too, with these guys is this is a team that over the past couple of years has gotten a lot defensively, a lot of goal scoring defensively from Tyson Barrie and Eric Johnson and guys like that. And those guys really haven't stepped up and scored. I mean, Tyson Barrie's only got 2 goals and 8 points total this season. So, if those guys can start to pick it up and get it going, I think that these guys will be all right.
Drew Spivak joins us. Drew, one player I know, speaking of lack of offense, is Tyson Barrie, the defender. He's only got 8 points so far. He's on pace for 36, which is well below the 49 and 53 he's had the last 2 seasons. And there was all the talk in the summer that, one of the reasons why Patrick Roy left was because Colorado elected to keep, him on defense, and I wasn't sure how accurate that was, but there was definitely, from enough people I talked to, there was maybe some disagreement, animosity, whatever, between the coach and that player. So with Roy gone, you're thinking, well, geez, maybe he'd perform even better. He's performed worse offensively anyway. How come?
Yeah, he has. He's been kind of a player that's been maybe the biggest disappointment on this team this season, coming off the contract and working that out this season, kind of getting that bridge deal. And you're thinking, man, he might have a really spectacular season because this kind of seems like it'd be an offense that would fit him a little bit better than Patrick was with – his skill set with being able to skate and move the puck up ice quickly and kind of that two-way game that he can try and play. But it just hasn't clicked for him yet, and it's hard to kind of figure out why. He's shuffled around defensive pairings trying to get it going, and that hasn't really worked for him as well. And I think the bigger disappointment is that he's taken a step back defensively. He's a guy that, yeah, he's never going to be a great defensive player, but you kind of take that with a grain of salt, knowing that, hey, he's usually going to bring that offensive punch. But when he's not bringing that offensive punch like he hasn't this season, those defensive, defensive deficiencies, I guess, will kind of stand out a little bit more this season. So, if he can kind of get it going here a little bit for him, I think the big thing is he's got to start scoring on the power play. If he can get it going on the power play, he'll be just fine. But that's kind of been one of the things that he's been good at over the last couple of years, and he has to get that going if he's going to have another pretty solid season for him.
Drew, it's interesting. When the Avs outperformed everybody's expectations a few years back, you know, people talked about it being unsustainable, the way they were winning, much the way the Calgary Flames did, actually. They definitely overachieved. And then they had a drop-off, more of a drop-off than I expected. I thought this might sort of be the rubber match of seasons to see which way it's going to go. And right now it's going the wrong way. They are definitely not as good as they appeared just three short seasons ago.
Yeah, it's been kind of a weird season, and I kind of thought all along going into this was going to kind of be a tell-all season, and kind of what the direction of the franchise is going to be, depending on what happens this year. You know, with the expansion draft coming up next year, you know, the goaltending situation with which guy you're going to try and keep and make sure that you don't lose to the expansion draft next year. You've got a brand new coach, so this kind of thought process around here has always been, well, was it the coach or was it the players? And now that the head coach and Patrick Waugh is gone, think, okay, well, now we're going to find out if these players, this core of guys, these young superstars, or these young stars at least, could be, you know, top players in the NHL. And, you know, the way this team has played this season has kind of just been up and down. They'll have a couple games where they look really good, and you say, okay, this team's progressing. They're starting to look like the team that we think they're capable of. And then there's some nights you're looking around going, what the heck happened here? This team is just an utter disaster. And really, it's kind of been the same thing we've seen over the last couple of years as far as that aspect goes. The thing that kind of, I think, gives me a little bit of optimism with this team, though, is that you look at kind of some of their advanced stats, they are a better team defensively this year. They're not giving up as many quality scoring chances. They're not getting, you know, outshot attempted every single night. Mm-hmm. They just haven't been able to put the puck in the net. And while that was happening, they weren't getting quality goaltending. Semyon Varlamov struggled. They tried going with Calvin Pickard for a little bit. He wasn't really getting the job done. Now Varlamov, over the last 5-6 games, has really picked it up and gotten back to what we've seen from him in the past. And so, you know, it kind of gives me a little bit of hope here that now that the schedule's lining up for this team, maybe they can kind of get this thing going. But if they don't start scoring, that's not going to happen for them.
Drew Spivak joins us from Denver. Oilers taking on the Avalanche tonight. Goaltending hasn't really been an issue at all for the Avalanche this season. But if you look at their team and quickly going putting on your expansion draft hat, do you see them now as a 7-4-3 defense protection? Is that kind of the obvious way, or what do you think they're going to do?
You know, it's hard to say at this point. I kind of tend to think that one of the guys that to keep an eye on that kind of could be left available is Mikhail Grigorenko, the guy who came over from the Buffalo trade a couple of years ago with Ryan O'Reilly. He's, you know, we've heard about all of his potential and all the skill set that he brings, and yet we still haven't seen that on a night-in, night-out basis. He hasn't been a guy that's really stepped up and been a key contributor for this team like I think Joe Sack and the rest of the organization has kind of hoped for. So I think he's going to be a guy that I think is really going to be worth watching once it comes time to expand the draft, either him and or Carl Soderberg as well. You know, the goaltending thing for me is fascinating, because what do they do with that? Because you got to let one of them go, or at least leave one of them unprotected. And I would think that Semyon Varlamov would be the guy that they leave unprotected, given his salary, you know, given the way he's played over the last couple of years. But I don't know if they have enough trust in a guy like Calvin Pickard to be the guy that can carry the workload and be that number one goaltender night in and night out. So I think those are a couple of the things that will be really worth watching once we start getting towards the expansion draft. But I think it all comes down to how this team finishes the season. If they can make a climb up the standings in the Central, which the Central's been, you know, a little bit down this year compared to the last couple of years, then it'll kind of make things interesting for Joe Sakic and the rest of that front office.
Drew, one last one for me. You mentioned Joe. Obviously, great player, thought of well around the league for good reason, but it's about wins. We're not there yet, obviously, because we're just into this season, but how much rope does Joe Sakic get in Denver? How impatient will ownership and the fan base be if this doesn't change?
You know, it's kind of an interesting question, because it's something we talk about a lot here in town amongst the Avalanche kind of media and stuff and the fan base as well, is that, you know, it doesn't really feel like there's a whole lot of pressure coming from upstairs as far as the ownership goes on Joe Sakic, whether this thing goes, you know, good or bad. It's kind of an ownership group and Josh Kroenke and those guys that don't really have a lot of, I guess, I don't want to say input, but they don't really – worry about the day-to-day type operations for the Avalanche. They're more focused on what's happening with the basketball team and the Nuggets and obviously staying with the LA Rams and things like that. So it doesn't really feel like there's a lot of pressure on Joe Sakic, but I think when you look at it from a fan standpoint, this has got to be a year where they take that next step, because we've seen kind of the moves where Joe is really trying to make this his team over the last couple of years, and with the way they've, you know, kind of gotten rid of some of their mistakes in the past, whether it be the Nate Gannon, the Nick Holmes, the Brad Stewarts, the guys like that, the guys they've let go, you can kind of see where Joe Sakic and now Chris McFarland, kind of the assistant GM, have come in and really kind of try to put their stamp on this team. And so if it doesn't turn out to be, you know, kind of what they want it to be, I could see a situation where maybe Joe Sakic goes up and he kind of just becomes a figurehead in that front office there, and Chris McFarland takes over as a full-time GM. But I think the fans are starting to get a little bit restless here if they can't turn this thing around, because now you can't really blame it on Patrick Waugh anymore. You can't really blame it on, you know, guys like Nate Gannon and Brad Stewart and guys like that anymore. It's got to start to come, okay, maybe this roster just isn't constructed the way it needs to be in order for this team to be successful.
Drew, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one, guys.